All right, let's begin today. Oh, like I mentioned, I will be concluding that teaching on the cross of Christ. Please, I'd like you to pay attention to everything that was said or that's still being said. And one of the things I want to explain again today is that, let me just start. It's already flowing like that. We'll read the text in a moment. One of the things I want to explain is that Christianity is not marked by what you can get. It's actually marked by what you can give up. Did you hear what I said? The Christianity is not marked by what you can acquire. It's actually marked by what it is that you can release, what you can give up. And I want to talk today, in fact, there are two things I want to talk about today as I teach. And both of them, one is how to count your possessions as a Christian. Very important, counting your possession. I think I wrote an article on it. And then the second one, both of them combined, again, is living a life of purpose. And I think it's one of the most important things I've been teaching, as I've been teaching the Word of God, that Christians must learn to live the life of purpose. I explained to you, I said earlier that we just drove in from Newe. I went to teach a group of young students who are just graduating from school. And one of them, in fact, he asked me, there's a scripture we're going to read in a moment, he asked me a question about it, and I answered him, because when Jesus said that it is easier for a camel to pass through the eyes of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And the man wanted to understand what that meant. And I explained to him, and I'm going to talk about that again as we go on, that you see, wealth as an example, all right? We're taking that as an example on how Christians should live their lives. Wealth for a Christian is not about possession, it's about responsibility. So I explained to him, because we didn't have the time to talk in details, that so for a Christian, that really doesn't apply. Now, when I say apply now, the principle of Jesus Christ is correct, but that you as a Christian can never be that kind of rich man. If you are really a true Christian and you understand life, you can never be that kind of rich man. You can have billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars, all right, at your disposal, that is, that you are controlling, but you can never be that kind of rich man. That is, you actually don't have anything as a Christian. If you read my book, Grace to Prosper, in it I taught about the vow of poverty, all right? And every Christian must take a vow of poverty. There's nothing you have everything you have must be serving a purpose, all right? And you must be willing to let go of anything if the time comes. You must never see anything as your own, all right? You know, when it even comes to children, as God gave me understanding, like I was saying the other day, when I look at my children in the house, I don't even see them as my own. I see them as young men, and we have one young woman, all right? I have young men and a young woman who God sent into my home that I should train in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Are you getting my point? That I should train them how to do righteousness and justice so that he can bring to pass certain things that he wants to do on the earth. They are not my children. They are children of God. You know, all of us are children of the same Father. If I was teaching that where I was, you know, that when went to where I went to teach just before coming back in here now, that you see, when Jesus said, "Don't call anybody Father on this earth," you know, if you don't understand the words of Jesus Christ, let me teach some of those things I said here to help people. You know, you must understand how to interpret the words of Jesus. People say everything that Jesus said was literal. You must be careful that you don't do what I call hyper-literal interpretation of the scriptures. If you do that, you are going to cause confusion. That's why some people will tell you that if you are rich on this earth, you can never enter the kingdom, because Jesus said it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle. You know, and we know that a camel cannot pass through the eye of a needle. But Jesus also said other things. He said you have a log in your eye and you want to pick a speck from the eye of somebody. How many people have you seen with timber inside their eye? So you must understand that he's using some things to express some things. He told the Pharisees that you strain out a gnat and then you swallow a camel. Have you ever seen a Pharisee swallow a whole animal? You get my point. What was he trying to tell them? That you tight little things, but the weightier matters of the law, you have not yet handled it. So you must understand when Jesus is speaking, all right, with parables, and you know, people say, no, he meant what he said literally. Listen, just read it in context. You will know when he's using parables to explain the principle, all right? So in the same manner, all right, Jesus explained to people that don't call anybody father on the earth. And what was he saying? That nobody really is your source of life. Because elsewhere he uses scripture and the expression, honor your father and your mother. So if he said don't call anybody father, how is he saying that? How will you now know who to honor now? You understand the principle? But he was looking at it. In fact, let me not teach. You know, the thing is just in my mind. I just finished teaching some people now. So it's still... it's still hanging in my throat. So I want to say it. So let me just be careful. Now, why did I bring that matter up? So I just use that illustration to let you... I just want to bring out something that... So when I see my children, all right? I'm not really in that... Using the words of Jesus now. I'm not really their father. We are all brothers. That's what he said. So I see them as brothers... who are far younger than I am, who have come into my home to be trained because I'm more experienced. We are all children of the same father. That's why I brought that one up. I see them as such, so I have to teach them the way of God. It is a responsibility. I am not teaching you to bear my name. What is my name? In fact, those are the things you must understand about Christians, as being a Christian. You must never take any pride in that your name, your family name. In Christianity, it means nothing. What did I say? I didn't hear you well. Are your family name you are carrying like it is important? It's absolutely unimportant. You've heard me say this one before. A young woman married, she wants to leverage on how important her father is, so he joins it to her husband's name. If it's okay with you and your people, two of you, I'm not here to fight you. But for me, it means what? Nothing. Even if I married Kenny Higgins' daughter, you know, so I'm in ministry, so... Now come and say, your name is Ufoma Higgin Olushina. Because of why? Or because of what? Because of waiting. You have to explain to me why. You're taking pride in your father's name. You are not allowed to do that. Now, I'm trying to bring out an issue there. So, you see, as Christians, you know, this is what I'm talking about. Jesus said something. Let's just read that one again. Let me just... just so as to connect with where we were. Before I forget to read that. Luke chapter... Which one did you read last time? Matthew. Okay. All right, let's go back there then. The book of Matthew chapter 10. Let's just go back there then. Now, because we read it extensively last time, I will not spend a lot of time reading it, all right? Okay, we'll start from verse 24. Like I said to you, because I spent we spent a lot of time looking at it last time, I'll just summarize quickly. From verse 24, he said, the disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. So whatever it is that the master has suffered, the disciple shouldn't think that his own lot is going to be better. So that's what he said to them then. So he said to them, do not fear. Verse 26. Fear is the reason why you will not do the will of God for your life. Should I say that again? I think I should. What did I say? Fear is the reason why Christians don't do the will of God for their lives. There are many things people fear. One of the commonest fears these days is poverty. Do you hear what I said? That's one of the commonest ones. Poverty. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? With what shall we clothe ourselves? When you fear, you can't do the will of God. If you are trying to make a decision, please bear this in mind. You know, people want to hear God. And God speaks. Help me. I know he's very smiling. He knows I'm stuck. Okay, but we need to tell the truth and help people, right? Yes. And when you have people gather like this, not everybody, you know, the Holy Spirit, there's something you want to teach, but the Holy Spirit wants to tell two people something. And you can't say because of your teaching, they must not, about God will vex. So let me be safe, amen? Yes. I want to play safe by just preaching what I want to preach, amen? Yes. Now we'll get back to it in a moment, but I'm stuck on something. Let me quickly dispense of that and I get back to my message. People want to hear God when you have to make a decision. And then let me say this clearly to you. God speaks. Amen? Amen? He speaks. He communicates his will to people. different ways. And many times you will hear, did I say many times? Yes, many times. But it's not the commonest way. Many times you will hear the voice of God. God can lead you by your spirit. That means when you are sleeping, God can come up to you in a dream different ways. And you see that in the scriptures. There was a time Paul was confused as to where to go. Doors were closing for him. And then he dreamt, and a man was shouting, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." And that was how God communicated with them that they had to go to Macedonia. God speaks in different ways. And one of the reasons why God will do that is if Macedonia is not on your way, and Macedonia is not a place you would have thought of, and Macedonia, you have no business in Macedonia apart from that specific ministry concerning which you never thought of Macedonia. So God will speak like that. He does. God communicates his ways through his will through different ways. But I want to just say this to us again. That is not the usual way. You will make 10 decisions in one day, but that experience may not happen to you more than once in 5 years. You must understand this. Does it mean we don't ask God to communicate his will? You will still ask him to communicate his will, and he will still communicate his will. But he does not always give instructions. What God does, what he prefers all the time, is to teach you what he calls precepts. That is, God expects that as you grow as a Christian, you start working out his will through reasoning. I don't know whether you understand what I'm saying there. And that is why he said, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That is, once you are not the kind of person you used to be, you can just by using your mind decode what the will of God is in a particular situation. And if it is not his will, Oswald Chambers said, then he will come in and stop it. And of course, then he may have to interject by other manifestations. And that is why when you wake up in the morning, as a good Christian, God never tells you, brush your mouth. God doesn't say that to you, have a bath, put on clean clothes. He expects that unless I call you and I say, John the Baptist, into the wilderness, you should wear decent and neat clothes. That's just the way he does things. So, now that may sound like a very simple and, you know, I mean, we should know that, yes. But in a lot of things in life, that's how God expects it to be. Many times you have to give money. God doesn't want to talk to you, whether you should give money or not. He says, I've given you money, you've seen a need. So what communication are you looking for? You understand what I'm going to explain? Yeah, he does that. But occasionally, the need is equal to all the money you have and the one you're expecting. And those are the times he will specifically speak to you, because he doesn't normally, I mean, if I'm sitting down and a need arises, why should I give all my money to one particular? The other things happen in life. So at such times he may come through supernatural methods and indicate to you that give them everything. I say, they're asking for, let's say, just to illustrate, they're asking for 20,000. That's all. I don't even have of that. I have only 15. Say, there's another 5,000 that is coming. Promise it. It's unusual. I told this story many times. Kimberly Kay said she was preparing to go to church one day, and she just heard the voice clearly, either in her heart or in her ears, but it was so clear. He said, if people say they hear God, that is the closest I ever came to it. What did that voice say? Offer to double anything they give today in church. They were raising money for a special project in church. He said, to her, it was so strange. I never heard anything like that. And then she offered to double it. Normally in church, they will raise 5,000 naira on a very good day, or $2,000, sorry, I wanted to say. $2,000 or $5,000 on a very good day. But that day, maybe because of her offer, and she said, everybody, cash. The pastor said, please allow us till tomorrow. It's all right, you bring the cash either today or tomorrow. Cash, check. No pledges. And they counted the money. It came to be $106,000, which she had to double. For somebody who thought that all she would have doubled was $5,000. That's why God does such things. Don't say, if God doesn't speak to me, I won't cross the road. Maybe you don't have business on the other side of the road, so stay here. Because he's not going to say anything. If anything makes sense in the natural course of your life, God won't talk about it. Many of you, a man has come, marry me. Please, for those of you listening to this, maybe from here, we'll get back to our message. Let me just finish this one. Because I can feel the pull. I can feel the pull. People say, talk, preacher, preach it. I need to hear it. A man has come to you, marry me. He said, I'm waiting for God to talk. I said, all right, no problem. I am waiting for you to hear. Spiritual hearing, when it comes to Christians, is not, have you prayed enough? How many hours did you spend praying in tongues and the Holy Spirit began to speak? There's one man I'm listening to now, he preaches that thing. I told Israel, I don't agree with him. Moses is not praying for many hours before the bone started. Is it the bone that started bushing or the bush that started burning? It was the bush that started burning. Are you getting my point? Samuel didn't know what they were talking about. Paul was going around fighting everybody. When God showed up physically, you getting my point? When God came to Paul in a dream, he was just wondering, where do we go? So you cannot say, you can't pray in tongues enough until you force the Holy Spirit to say something. If you won't talk, he go talk. If you don't want talk, he no talk. Don't be by force. And the major reason why you don't hear his voice is not because he's not talking. Now, please, that here, hear the here in quotes, all right? The major reason is because your ears are blocked. And that's what I'm talking about. The reason why you don't discern the will of God is because your ears are blocked. What blocks the ears? Wrong ideas, wrong concepts, and what drove us into this? Fear. Fear. So if that fear is in your heart, pray for 1 million hours in tongues, in teeth, not only tongue, pray any way you like. He still can't see anything. You know why? You can't hear it. Not because he can't utter, but because you can't what? Hear. So if a Christian wants to know the will of God, you get spiritual earbud with wax solvent, clean your ear very well. And how what is that? Is with the word of God, rearrange your thinking pattern. So back to that young woman. No, I've not forgotten you. Don't worry, I know you are there. So man comes, say, marry me. 6 months I've been praying to hear God. And you see, he hasn't spoken. Have you noticed? Now they don't say yes, so they won't know who you are. He hasn't spoken. It's been 6 months. You know why he has not said anything? Because he can't say anything because you can't hear anything. Actually, what he wants to say, he has said. The problem right now, you can't hear because your ears are blocked. Why are your ears blocked? That's what we're getting to. You have looked at him. I like him, but he's from Anambra State and I'm from Enugu State. One of the most unbelieving ways to make a decision in life. I was cracking a joke where I went to preach just this afternoon. I said to them, that is how to go to hellfire. No, not literally. Please, not literally. God will send you to hellfire because you didn't marry somebody. Do you hear what I said? In fact, whether you are single or not, you will still go to heaven. Amen? That's not what I'm talking about. Just that when people say that is your braided hair and your earrings, they say that's the one that will send you to hellfire. Worldly. When you talk about worldliness, worldliness is how you think. Are you getting my point? You may not use earring. You may not wear anything. You may just be a very simple guy or lady. But you are worldly. If a man drives up and you think the size of his car is a measure of his success, you are worldly, even though the car is not your own. Even though you don't even believe in buying that kind of car. But if the size of somebody else's car for you is a measure of success, you are worldly. How is your friend? Maybe I'm asking after a friend. He's doing well now. Maybe he's in ministry. He said, man, they are doing very well. They just built a 2,000-seat auditorium. My God, that guy is doing well. You are worldly. The size of the auditorium he managed to build does not in any way confer, it's not a measure of success. One day I was talking to one sister, asking after one brother. The brother had turned his name, you know, assuming that you knew his brother now. That time you knew him. His name was Olayenka Israel, you know, that kind of thing. And I said, how is Olayenka Israel? He said, he has moved to, let's take a country like U.S. How did he go? And I said, what is his name? You know, and because of this, if you phone him, don't call him Olayenka Israel. His name is now Chukwudi, what they call it, Joel, you know, that kind of thing. He said, okay, Chukwudi Joel Amadazon. He said, why? There was an arrangement with the journey. He had to do that. And I said, how is he doing? He said, he's doing fine. He has sent two cars home. He sent two cars home. I don't care what story you want to tell me. That change of name, unless he tells me when God told him, you shall change thy name. Or if he's to get papers so as to travel. Around nonsense. So if you judge the fact that he's doing well by the fact that he sent a few cars home, and last time he came, he was bouncing with some pair of jeans and better sneakers. He's not the problem. It's you I'm worried about, though. You that think he's successful because you think a man's life now consists in the abundance of the things that he possesses. You are the one that's worldly. So, why has God not spoken to me whether I should marry or not marry? God said, you can't hear. Whatever I say, you will not hear it. Your mindset is formed by worldly standards, and for that reason, you can't hear what I want to say. What if I were to appear to you in a dream? Oh God, why don't you appear to me in a dream? God said, you still won't hear it. That appearance in a dream will only increase your judgment. Because you will still disobey me, then I will not have more strikes against you. Now, why did I digress into that? You know, I just got stuck when I read the scripture here. Jesus said, therefore, do not fear them. The reason why people don't do what is right, the reason why people don't do the will of God, is because of fear. That's one of them. He said, do not fear them. And what I'm bringing out the fact that is when people fear, that is the reason why they don't do the will of God. So God said to them simply, what I tell you in darkness, what I say to you in secret, you declare it openly. And then in summary, we said that when you are doing these kind of things, you will make enemies. And when you make enemies like that, it is the will of God. If you make enemies because of what you are going to get, it's not the will of God. If you do business, in the process you make enemies, that's not the will of God, because you didn't pay one money fully. I sometimes let the people take the money, you relax. But when you make enemies, when there is separation between in intimate relationships, because you are declaring the truth of God, then that is the will of God. And Jesus said, for that reason, you will experience separation between a man and his father. You will find separation between a daughter and her mother, and a daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law. And then in a family, you discover that everybody will be against this man because he's declaring the truth of God. The summary of this, therefore, is this. Now, verse 37. He who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That is, whoever would rather preserve those relationships rather than walk in a manner that is pleasing to me by declaring my truth all the time is not worthy of me. He said, therefore, this is a summary of it. This is what you are going to be experiencing. It's called your cross. He said, he who doesn't take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life, he says, will lose it. That is, he who compromises these things so as to preserve his life will lose that life eventually. But he who has accepted the loss of his life for my sake will find it. Remember, I just wanted to read this so as to connect, all right? Now, remember, I started by explaining that Christianity is not marked by what you can get. It is marked by what? What you can give up. What you can release, all right? What you can release. It's not what you can get. It's not, you know, Christianity is not that by my faith, I acquired this house. By my faith, I was able to get this car. By my faith, you know, that's what we often testify, all right, about in Christianity. There was one lady I heard of, wife of a very well-known minister of the gospel, but there's no point in mentioning his name. I heard the testimony she gave once, that she would hear people testify. It was many years ago, so for her now and her husband, I know that money is now relatively small. But that time, the money was big. You hear that people gave 100,000 naira. She said she would sit down and say, somebody just gave an offering, 100,000 naira. Now, wow. So one day she sat down and said, God, where am I now in all of these things? So she made up her mind, me too, I will give 100,000 naira. And then one day, God arranged events, and the 100,000 naira dropped into her hand. First opportunity, she gave it. And what was her testimony? Praise the Lord. I was able to release 100,000 naira. That is Christianity. You know, you rarely hear that kind of testimony. You rarely hear it. What you hear most of the time is that, look, praise God. Yesterday, I sowed a seed. Today, it germinated. Obviously, that's not a seed. You'll see that germinating overnight. Which kind of magic is that one? Now, Jack, you know, Jack and the beanstalk, yes. That's not Christianity. If you give, all right? You don't come and harass us that I gave 5,000 naira yesterday. Today became 500,000 naira. I don't believe you anyway. You know, I told you before. I don't believe you. But Pastor Mark, it really happened. You gave 5,000, agreed. You got 500,000 today, agreed. Are they tied? No. Do such things happen once in 1,000 years? And that your own is not one of them. Pastor Mark, how are you so sure? I want you to doubt it so that you won't do it again tomorrow. It's you. It's because of you I'm saying these things. Because when you do like that, you start believing things that are not true, and it won't help you. Tomorrow you go and give that 500,000. I actually heard a man say in their church, they used to preach that one to them, that you can pledge 5 million as an example. Then you take 5,000 and sow it. Then it will become 50,000. Then you sow the 50,000, it will become 500,000. You sow the 500,000, it will become 5 million. Then you come and pay God. I said, God, no, Alan, since you are the one that will do it, let me just give you the 5,000. They multiply them by yourself. You don't need to return it to me. Since I have to give you back anyway, just hold it. So it's very easy. Just tell the pastor, say, that 5 million, I don't pledge them. But according to your principle, let me hold this 5K. I put them for offering basket. As God is multiplying it, it's your own. Don't worry. The Lord is good. I said, the Lord is good. No, just to summarize why I went into that. Christians, all right? Just give because you want to give. Do you understand? And if you want something from God, ask because He loves you. And He will always answer you. Are you getting my point? All right, so back to the point I was trying to make. Listen, people often forget to give the real testimony. The real testimony, it's not as if you are bragging about it anyway. Maybe that's one of the reasons why people don't bother. But the real testimony is what you can give, not what you can get. That's the real testimony of Christianity. And that's why Jesus described this, that as a believer in Christ Jesus, we're talking about the cross of Christ, all right? That the cross of Christ often would demand that you lose something. Christianity does not always make you gain. It doesn't always make you gain, outwardly speaking. A lot of times what it does is to remove from you. You are going to come from maybe you're a believer, you're from a very influential family. Your father's name opens doors. And God says to you simply, now you are going to stop using that name to open doors for yourself. Are you getting my point? When you go in there, you have to downplay that name. Any door that it will open for you, I am not the one opening it. It gets to that particular point as a believer. And God says, don't draw back. Let me explain something to you. Like I said, there are two things I'm talking about today. One, counting your possessions. And two, living a life of what? Purpose. Those are the two things I'm talking about today, all right? Because that's what Christianity is. In fact, that's the summary of it. Living a life of purpose. Paul says something. At that cross, and I said it before, it was not just Jesus that died. We also died with him. At that cross, our former selves died with him. Our ambitions died with him. The things we were living for died with him. But once we rose up from that particular place, we are now living a resurrected life. And that life is not yours. My own is not mine. It is now the life of Christ. It is the life of God. The life I now live in the flesh, Paul said, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died, who loved me and gave himself up for me. Let's read this scripture, which I love very much. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 is one I love so very much, which I quote a lot. You will see something here. And this is how the life of a Christian is. I'm going to verse 15 first, but let's back up. I'm trying to find a place to start reading from. Let's have verse 10. He said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, that is what he did in the flesh, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest to God. And I hope that we are made manifest also in your consciences. He said, we are not again commending ourselves to you, but are giving you an occasion to be proud of us, so that you will have an answer for those who take pride in appearance and not in heart. He said, for if we are beside ourselves, it is for God. If we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. He said, therefore, from now on we recognize no one according to the flesh. Even that Christ Jesus, we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him in this way no longer. This is all we know. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. And he continued to speak. But let me pause here. Now, my main scripture, which I wanted from there, is that verse 15. But you read it in context. What Paul was trying to explain is that whatever we are doing because we don't belong to ourselves anymore. If we are doing this, it's for two reasons. One, we are doing it for God. Two, we are doing it for you because you are the ministry that God committed into our hands. That's what he was trying to explain. So whatever it is that we are doing because we recognize one principle. And that's the fact that Jesus died for all, therefore all died. Their lives have come to an end. Their own ambitions came to an end. What they personally would have loved to accomplish came to an end. But everything they are doing now, they are doing, you know, that's verse 15. He said he died for all so that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. Please, this series of messages is where I want to end it, to challenge every believer to live their lives as a life of purpose. Now, let me explain something. Because you know, this is what the world teaches us. The world doesn't understand anything beyond that which it can see on this earth. Is a man successful? Yes. How do you know? If you get to his village, he has a very big house. If you get to Lagos, he has a very big house. If you see, two of his children are in school, they are in school abroad. He himself, he's very settled. You see, when you want to describe a man who's successful, we count all the things he has achieved. And you see, human beings, this is what they do. Have you seen people send you maybe a mail? See, there are titles. Oh my God. Titles, you know, ABC, XYZ, you know, EBV, HIV, some of my chiefs I used to crack jokes like that. Now, so people do that. They write all their titles. A friend of mine drove me the other day. He told me that the way this man behaves, he's not sure this guy is totally all right. He drove me to the man's car park, and the man wrote his name and put under it, Fool Professor. Human beings often have a problem, you know. Their titles give them identity. Make them feel good. You know, Paul says something, I don't want to know anything amongst you apart from Christ and him crucified. And I'm not bragging on myself or anything, but if you read my books, that's why all you find in there as my profile is he's a teacher of the word of God. Why? That's why you bought the book. If I was an architect, it would have been okay. You would say I've come here. If you heard that I'm just a professional, you know, have you seen that joke? You know, there's, I don't know how many of you have seen that joke. They ask me, what do you do? You say, I'm a professional. You know, anything. A professional can do anything. If you heard I was a professional, doesn't matter to you. You didn't come here because of any other thing than the word that this man is preaching. The The natural qualification does not add anything to it. Personally, I enjoy the knowledge I've gleaned from being a medical person, all right, and my work in the university, because it helps me to explain some things. But that's not what qualifies me, you know, to teach the word of God. It's not. If I have a doctor of divinity, in fact, which I do not have, and I'm so happy, I'm in a profession where I'm not officially certified. Are you qualified to teach? Just listen to two of my messages. You decide. Which theology school did you go to? Just buy two of the books. Sit down, read. If you are not touched, I wasn't sent to you. Give it back to me. Are you getting my point? No. And there's no quarrel about it. And when I say no quarrel, I'm not angry. You know, I am one person that, if you come for Bible studies for some time, then I don't see you here anymore. Out of concern, I will ask you, is everything okay? Once you tell me everything is okay, I leave you alone. My reason is simple. If you have listened to me for some time, then we'll decide whether I have a message for you or I don't. And I am not the only preacher on this earth. And that is why I'm so happy to spread messages. I mean, those who are close enough to me, or if you come around the office enough, you know, anytime I get a new message and I'm blessed by it, I bring it here. Hey, Israel, take. Hey, Bishop, have you listened to this? I mean, that's what I do. I can't teach you everything. There are words that God gave Kenneth Hagin, and it's from his mouth I heard them. You to hear it direct, I can report it to you, but I think it would be better if you hear it direct from his mouth. I get his messages, I give it to you. So, if you are listening to me for some time, I see you in Bible study, after a while, I don't see you. I just confirm that you are okay. Once I'm sure you are okay, I just feel like you are an adult. So, my only prayer for you is I hope you are going somewhere else to hear the word of God. That's my attitude. That's why, I've seen pastors quarrel, members. You know, there are things I can't quarrel over. I don't have the capacity. Not as if I'm too righteous. So, don't be saying, Pastor Bank is a very righteous man. No, it's not about righteousness, it's common sense. It's common sense. Once they came to John the Baptist, have you heard? Heard what? Hey, that's your cousin. These cousins are not loyal. The fact that you are related doesn't mean anything. You baptized him here. Is that not true? You were the one that ordained him to ministry. The man is down the road gathering a congregation bigger than yours. And they were very angry and they were jealous for his sake. What did he say? A man can receive nothing except it is given to him from above. Did I not tell you that I am not the one? That one mightier than I is coming? Did I not tell you that I must decrease and he must increase? What I like about it is that a man can receive what? Nothing. That's my attitude. And like they say in Eastern Nigeria here, come walk, come chop. They are two different things. Not be the same thing. As far as I'm concerned, when I say come for Bible studies, is what? Come chop. If a person say, he not hungry, must I force feed him or her? So if you're a pastor, please tell your pastor. No, they don't fight over our congregation. Unless you think it is come work. Of course, maybe some people it's come work. The lower the number of people, the less the cri-cri will they drop inside the basket. So that's what causes quarrels. How did I get into that? What was I talking about? I'm talking about qualification. I didn't forget. So for me, that's how it is. I don't need to present to you my experience, where I was certified. Am I called to ministry? Take my book. Read it. If it blesses you, I was called to your ministry. Are you getting my point? I was called to minister to you. If it doesn't bless you, give me back. There's no quarrel in it. And that's how life is. People use, they want to, you are a professor in a university. You write a book on the word of God. And you give us the details of your academic publication that you did in microbiology or in physical sciences. How does that qualify you to teach the word of God? I don't know. He has published this amount of books and this and this and that. At the end of the day, what is all these publications? It's academic. It's science. It's not a bad thing. I have scientific publications also. If I give you my list, you'll ask, Pastor, this is not only Bible with a preacher. I also have. But it doesn't feature in the other area because it's of no consequence. But human beings often like to drop every natural qualification they have as if that's supposed to give them, you know, spiritual validation. That is not working according to the principle of the cross of Christ. That's the point I'm making. It is not. It is not at all. Now, so we're saying, so that's what the cross of Christ is. At that point, the natural person comes to an end. And Paul said, henceforth, we don't know any man after the flesh. I was saying something. So the natural human being, all right, they use material things to try and give life value. Yeah, that's what I was saying. And that is why people strive for it. There are things I've told you before, there are things I hear, and I'm wondering that, how do you manage? Everything you do as a believer, now listen to this, we're talking about the old man is dead, now you're living a life, okay, that is the life of God. It means that you are not your own. Every single thing you do in life as a believer must be done by purpose, as a purpose. That is, what I mean is this, you realize that God sent me to do something and you don't ever do anything for personal gain.